Hello, everyone. Welcome to Narcissism Recovery Podcast, produced by the Magnolia Healing Center. I'm your host, Yitz Epstein. In this podcast, we'll be delving into topics related to narcissistic abuse, codependency, childhood wounds, childhood trauma, mental illness, and all things narcissism. The purpose of this podcast is to bring widespread awareness and healing to the global epidemic of narcissism and codependency. It is my hopes that with this podcast, we can collectively create an environment of health and healing for you, the individual, and for the world at large. Let's begin. Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for joining me for today's episode. Today, we're going to be discussing becoming whole and one. So throughout my podcast, I talk a lot about becoming whole as the intention or one of the intentions of healing. Now, what does it mean to be whole? What does it mean to develop a whole sense of self? What does it mean to become a whole person? So in this podcast episode, we're going to be talking about what wholeness is and what it means to become whole, specifically as it relates to the healing journey. And I'm also going to discuss what it means to become one, which is slightly different, but also along similar lines to wholeness. Now, to begin, in many philosophies and teachings, wholeness and oneness are essentially grouped together. They're the same thing. And what they mean is becoming one with all that is, and experiencing oneness with the wholeness and totality of everything that exists. In other words, we enter into a place or into a state of consciousness where we feel intimately connected to all that exists, realizing that we are all indeed made of the same exact stuff. We are all connected to a universal life force that many people refer to as God. Now, when I personally talk about wholeness, specifically in relation to healing, I'm referring to developing an independently whole sense of self. So it's the realization that each one of us is an independent being who's whole in and of itself, and we are not in need of anything or anyone else to make us whole. Now, oneness, on the other hand, is rising above and transcending of the individual whole self and becoming one with universal energies or the eternal infinite universe and connecting to that energy field. So in order to live a balanced life, we need both a whole sense of self, so we need that independent wholeness, and we also need the ability to transcend that wholeness, that whole sense of self, into oneness. Now, too much of wholeness of our individual self leads to feelings of isolation. Oftentimes it leads to selfishness, entitlement, and even narcissism. Too much oneness, which is focused on the togetherness, right? Too much of that leads to a loss of individuality, a loss of self, and the inability to feel grounded and secure within one's independent self. So obviously we need both of these balanced to truly live a healthy and balanced life. Now, the intention of a healing journey that I talk about, the healing journey of recovery from abuse or trauma, essentially is to develop a whole sense of self to then, once we have that sense of self, then to transcend that self into oneness. So what this means is we need to know who we are in this world as a separate entity in order to be aware of that person, of that self, and ultimately to feel secure and grounded. Now, only once that is the case can we then explore higher levels of consciousness, explore the oneness of our existence without losing ourselves or getting trapped in, let's say, false paradigms of existence or getting pulled into other people's worlds, other people's philosophies, or other people's energy. Now, when we enter into the healing process, we are usually going to be going on the healing journey, coming from a place of fragmentation, lost, feeling hurt, confused, feeling disconnected, and alone. Now, instantly, this is an important place to be, because when we feel this way, we are willing to let go of the ways in which we've been operating and the things we've been holding on to so that we can find ourselves. We can find out who we are and develop that sense of self that we talk about. And you could argue that these breakdowns in life that fragment us and leave us feeling extremely confused and lost are actually necessary so that we can, like I said, let go of those things that we've been attached to and truly explore our authentic nature. Now, when life breaks us down, when we experience breakdowns in life, the reason this is the case is because our sense of self, or who we are identifying with or operating out of, the sense of self that we're operating out of, it's not whole. And the breakdown essentially is a consequence or is a manifestation or a reflection of that lack of wholeness. Without a breakdown, what we would do is we would just continue living our life with maladaptive relationship patterns, and ultimately we wouldn't be able to grow in a healthy way and reach our full potential. In essence, we wouldn't truly be able to become whole. So breakdowns in life are meant to break us down. They're meant to rip us open in such a way that we can then go ahead and rebuild ourselves into wholeness, the wholeness that we need but didn't necessarily realize that we did until now. And you could argue that breakdowns are somewhat of a blessing in disguise, not because they're comfortable, but ultimately because what comes from that, what they lead to, and the healing and the growth that, that comes from it. So as a metaphor, you may want to think of a home that is in need of repair. And what often happens when we need to repair something is you need to destroy it entirely, demolish it, to then rebuild the foundation, one that is sustainable and building it in a proper, healthy way. So a breakdown in life is necessary for rebuilding the healthy foundation, which is this this sustainable sense of a whole sense of self that I speak of. So you can even continue this metaphor in relation to the wholeness and the oneness that I'm referring to. So the home that we would rebuild, which is the individual whole self, the home is the self, and the community or the society or the world around us in which that home exists is the oneness. Right? So we need a home to live, right? We need a place to call our own, but we also want to live as a part of something else, something larger than ourselves, something greater than ourselves, and not just have our home, right? It's not just about the individual home, but ultimately it's about the community we are part of. We're going to want to leave home and connect with people, pursue careers, career opportunities, attend community gatherings, whatever that might be for you. And these are examples of transcending the whole sense of self into oneness. And you can see how, yes, you want a home, but also you want connection. You want connection, but ultimately you need a home to come back to. So while oneness and the exploration of the world is extremely blissful, it's enjoyable, you feel connected, we always want to know that there is a home to come back to, one where we can be ourselves, unpack, and have no pressure to be anything but ourselves. So this balance of having a home to call our own while also having a community that the home exists in relation to, a sort of larger context, one greater than our individual self, is the metaphor of the balance that we need of wholeness and oneness. So when we go on a healing journey, the initial portion of the healing journey is to find individual wholeness. This is where we find out who we are without a relationship, without an ego identity, without a job, without a name even, a reputation, or other people's expectations. This is where we explore who we are as a separate individual, what our personality is, our personal preferences, what we need to grow, our likes, our dislikes. And while this exploration of the self can be done in relationships, it can be done with other people, it is most beneficial when this is done alone, because when we are with people, we usually have pressure to become a certain way, to act a certain way, to play a certain role, essentially pressure from outside of ourselves to be someone specific. And ultimately, it's harder to shed that layer and truly embody who we are authentically. Now, most of becoming whole is shedding layers of who we are not, who we thought we needed to be to survive, other people's beliefs about what is true, other people's expectations, specifically our parents, on who we needed to be or what we needed to get in order to create, get love or get our needs met. Now, it's vital to understand and remember that you are already whole. We are whole as we are. So the wholeness that I speak of, it's not developed as much as it is just explored, discovered, and revealed. So the wholeness only appears as if it is fragmented and it's experienced as disconnected, because in essence, to survive, we had to hide and deny parts of ourself. And we feel disconnected from certain parts of ourselves, most notably the inner child, the child within. To survive, we had to hide that child within. But we're never split off actually from this child within. We're not disconnected from ourselves. We're just, it's hiding. It's not revealed. It's not accepted as whole. So once we start to go on that healing journey and integrate these denied elements of self, shed layers of that which we are not, we begin to experience this wholeness that has really been there all along, but it was hidden from our present moment experience. So you don't need to do anything to become whole. We just need to accept our nature, which is whole, which is to be whole, and then let go of beliefs and defense mechanisms and programs that contribute to feeling fragmented and feeling split and disconnected. In other words, we want to stop identifying with ego that sees itself as separate from everyone and everything. Now, I do want to point out that the ego is going to do what it can to resist wholeness and oneness with everything it has, because the ego sees itself, its very nature, as separate from the world and from the universe, and the world is something that we must manipulate for personal gain or to survive, and sort of survival of the fittest, right? It has a tremendously difficult time letting go, which is experienced by the ego as an ego death. So the ego attaches to these identities and these routines and these patterns and these, for safety and predictability and comfort, which is why working with the ego and not identifying with the ego, ultimately having one, but then transcending that egoic sense of self is one of the hardest things to do. But once we do that, we can reach those higher levels of consciousness and really experience the oneness and the peace that comes with it. So without the realization of our innate wholeness and without embracing this oneness, we are inevitably going to cleave to, attach to, and cling to things to give us wholeness and ultimately to try to get that oneness that we crave, that we desire. And what we end up doing as a result of that is unnecessarily becoming dependent on things like relationships, addictions, consumerism, so belongings, narcissistic attachments, things like control perhaps or power. All these things that we see today in society specifically are all manifestations of our inability to be at peace with ourselves and to feel whole and to be whole with ourselves. And what we're doing is we're searching for wholeness and oneness, but ultimately we always get dissatisfied and it's unsustainable because the oneness and wholeness that we're searching for can only be really experienced inwardly. So in order to truly experience the satisfaction and fulfillment that comes from intimacy and interconnection and relationships that bring us the joy and the happiness that ultimately what attracts us to relationships, in order for that to happen, we need to both have this sense of self, so the independent sense of self, and then the ability to then transcend or rise above and live for something greater than ourselves. And while the beginning portion of the healing journey, the healing process, focuses on, let's say, overcoming childhood trauma, healing wounds to the self, and then letting go of those beliefs, those programs, eventually we want to have that whole sense of self, nurture that self, but then ultimately get to a place where the self isn't the main focus, but rather going above and beyond the individual nature of the self and then serving something greater, serving others, serving our purpose, and finding meaning of our life. That's truly what brings satisfaction. Now, eventually, we get to a place where our experience of life are of oneness. So if we continue on the healing journey, we do all the healing work, eventually we break through from that sort of self-focus, that ego-identified, and we break through into authentic present moment soul awareness. And this is at this place that we get to, that we break through to, we start to see that our inner worlds and our inner lives are intricately and intimately interwoven with that of other people and theirs with ours. And we begin to know, at least intuitively and experience energetically, that we are one and we can feel this oneness despite our differences. And no matter how alone you believe you are or feel, essentially you start to understand that it's really the oneness that is all that exists, and our bodies or our minds are just the things that make us feel or believe that we're separated. We start to see that our bodies might be separate from other people, right? One of the main reasons we think we're separated is because we have different bodies, but ultimately we all have the same energetic force, and it's a collective consciousness and a universal energy which is intricately connected to all that is, and that makes us all in fact one and connected. So what ends up happening at this point is we lose the obsession with survival and building an individual life to feel safe and protect ourselves, and we shift into this way of operating where we are one, and therefore it's less fear, less shame, less guilt, and ultimately more connection, and realizing that we all are connected, we all affect each other, and for the better or for the worse, but at that place where we are all connected, we can't do harm to other people because we realize that we are all one, and we all benefit from the kindness that we treat ourselves and others with. So the balance of wholeness and oneness that I speak of can also be seen in the body's desire to survive and live with its basic needs being met, but also it has the desire for freedom from the body in the form of altered states of consciousness. Now, to explain it, we have a body, obviously, and we need to live. We have needs, and we need to meet those needs to survive. But when those needs are met, when we feel safe, satiated, we are not going to be fulfilled as humans with just those basic needs met. We want more. We want to explore. We want to create. We want to discover, transform, evolve. We want to connect. Now, when we have those basic needs met and we feel safe in our bodies, only then can we go beyond that and explore our spiritual nature, the nature of the universe, of God, and universal energies. Now, when we have wounds to the self, it is tremendously difficult to go above the self because we are very much self-focused. We are distracted by it. Pain demands attention, and the wounds to the self are demanding all of our mental focus. We become obsessed with the body, and in many ways, we just identify with the body or our physical existence as our primary identity. And we can never really get the satisfaction we're seeking until we detach from the body, in a sense, and rise above and leave the self-consciousness of individuality and become one with universal energies that bring us all together, an experience that many people would refer to as a godlike experience. So to finish off, childhood trauma and abuse is devastating, obviously for many different reasons, but perhaps the most crippling effect is the way that our wounds to the self metaphorically clip our wings. Broken wings struggle to fly, obviously, so that's a metaphor as well, which is why abuse and trauma victims have a very difficult time experiencing this oneness and pure bliss of unconditional love that is experienced when we do transcend the self, because the metaphorical flying high to higher states of consciousness cannot happen because they don't have a self. They don't have the wing, so to speak, to fly. So addictions from this perspective can be seen as an attempt to experience the aforementioned high of being one without having any whole individuality, right? So it's an attempt to get high without actually raising one's consciousness. In essence, it is trying to cheat the system in a way, which is why it's unsustainable, because it only lasts as long as the drug of choice lasts. And then ultimately we all know, right? The drug of choice wears off and then we crash back down to the original state of consciousness that we were at before we took our drug of choice, which is usually shame, guilt, fear, and fragmentation. So the only real way to maintain a, so to speak, high on life way of living, or a high state of consciousness, is by going inward and slowly, methodically rebuilding the sense of self, doing the healing work, the growth work. And then when we do that and we get present in the moment, having a whole sense of self, that slowly will raise our consciousness, and then we will not be pulled down to lower states of consciousness. We'll be able to sustainably, continuously raise our consciousness and connect to the universal oneness that brings the joy and the happiness and the fulfillment that we speak of. So addictions can be seen as a way of sort of spiritually bypassing the lower conscious emotions and wounds that, when we do stay present and when we do work with those lower states of consciousness, those lower emotions, which are just as spiritual as the higher states, when we transmute them and heal them through present moment awareness, we automatically are going to raise our consciousness. So when we're engaging in, let's say, an addiction, we're trying to avoid pain and hurts. But and while there is an appeal to do this, and ultimately we don't want to feel pain, it's an unsustainable way of living, because ultimately we need to work with these emotions. We need to transmute them. And when the addiction wears off, we're going to be brought back to this pain anyway. So it's a system. Addiction essentially is a pattern of relating that doesn't work, and it breaks us down. So breakdowns in life could be seen as trying to get away from our pain, trying to escape our wounds and present moment experience. But it is only by going into the pain, feeling it, transmuting it through present moment awareness, that we can sustainably raise our consciousness. Final point is that wholeness does not mean perfection. When we are whole, we are not perfect. We're not aiming for perfection, some societal idea of what it means to be perfect, but rather we're accepting that we are perfect as we are. And we are acceptable as we are. We don't need to perfect ourselves to become whole. We just need to be our true authentic self, right? Show up to life accepting as we are, ourselves as we are, the messy, flawed, the mistake prone, and ultimately the human being that is our true self. So if this episode resonated with you and you feel broken, you know, after narcissistic abuse, you feel fragmented, you feel isolated, and you're really struggling to heal and raise your consciousness and transcend the self, it's important to understand the following. If you do not have a sense of self, then reaching oneness, or if you have a broken sense of self or a wounded sense of the oneness, it can very much feel out of reach. An independent and whole sense of self is the first part of the healing journey, and ultimately it's a must if we're going to then experience the joy and the happiness that comes from higher states of consciousness when we are at peace with ourself and when we are fully embracing our wholeness in the present moment. What's so important is to set the intention to go inward, stop avoiding, stop denying, have the courage to face your pain, your damage, break down these barriers to intimacy, to the present moment, you know, meet those unmet childhood needs, heal the child within. And when we do this, we can nurture the individual self back to wholeness. And then once we have that whole, once we develop that whole healthy sense of self, only once this happens can we join life in a way that allows us to connect to the oneness of us all. And from this place of wholeness, our relationships become healthier. They become more at peace because we have more independence. We're no longer codependent. And that's really where healthy interconnection happens, as opposed to, let's say, enmeshment or narcissistic or codependent relationships. So I really hope this podcast episode gave some clarity on the difference between wholeness and oneness and the importance of each of them, and how the balance of the two is really the aim of the healing journey. If this is a struggle for you, if this resonates and you'd like to go on a healing journey to develop that whole sense of self and ultimately reach higher states of oneness, feel free to reach out to me directly. I'd be an honor to work with you. My email is yitz, Y-I-T-Z, at magnoliahealingcenter.com. You can reach me by phone, 818-210-6049. Thank you all so very much for joining me for today's episode. Until next time, all the best.